This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
The meeting of science and religion is occurring to dispel myth, oppressive myth. Or as I said in that tape many years ago that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had them play with me being present to hear what I was going to be charged with. The myth of mythological gods. One of the pharaohs of ancient Egypt was established as a powerful ruler. No one could disagree with him without taking a risk, a great risk, of being killed or driven out of Egypt. On the Prophet be peace, Prophet Abraham refused to recognize the authority of the Pharaoh over the authority of Allah. Pharaoh placed himself above Abraham's respect for divine authority, and he warned Abraham of consequences. Pharaoh's position was that Egypt was like no other place on earth, and Abraham would not be able to find knowledge, science, and guidance for his mind and heart in any other place. Pharaoh's attitude caused him to see Abraham as a lost soul without guidance. Abraham disagreed. Speaking to Pharaoh, Abraham said, and I'm giving you a quote from the Quran, from the Bible, the holy book of the Muslims. The one who created me will guide me. This Pharaoh has been preserved in history as a lesson to worshipers. Who then, I'm quoting again from our holy book, who then is more oppressive than him who fabricates a lie on Allah, to have the people go about ignorantly in error? Certainly, Allah does not guide the society of oppressors. Quran chapter 6, verse 141. Continuing, questioning religious myth. For attending the major issues in prophecy, this is the end of time that we're living in right now. The sacred word personified along with its anatomy of bones has come into America with the people of the book, Jews and Christians, followed by the Muslims whose book is the Quran. Knowledge without understanding is as a social issue of bones without any meat on them. Quote, this is a Bible quote. Son of man, can these dry bones live again? Prophesy to the four winds. Back to the holy temples of Islam in North America. In fact, it is the full sentence is Islam, temples, the holy temples of Islam in the wilderness of North America. Just in case some of you all don't know what wilderness is, it's where there's a lot of wildlife. Right. Now, again, the Temple of Islam. You must learn how to put your mathematical theology in its proper terms. End quote. This comes from the Nation of Islam, lessons, workbooks, and assignments to members or students of the Nation of Islam. Under Mr. Farad, for the first 2 years, or almost 3 years, and thereafter, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like some members in the Temple of Islam, following my heart refused to have my mind engage bold, flagrant contradictions charged to divine, to God, and to divine order and authority. In time, my desire to have it right drove out sentimentalism, to have reason serve my need for better understanding. Teaching that I previously did not favor in the Nation of Islam were now getting my attention. And you say, well, you should have favored everything. How many of you all favored everything? You favored the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that the black man is superior to the white man. You favored the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that you have been deceived by the white devil. So you favored a lot of things. But I never saw too many trying to explain Yaqub's history. Teaching that I previously favored did not favor was now getting my attention. Example, blacks made the devil. Oh, you don't have it quite right. Yaqub made the devil. But the same papers that said Yaqub made the devil said Yaqub was a black man. The black man is all righteous. I'm giving you what we were taught. The Nation of Islam's teaching is fraught with, loaded with, boldly presented contradictions. We can't deny that. It was done intentionally to wake us up one day. Another quote from that time and that material. Lesson material. The white race is a race of devils. Now that's one that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used a lot. You are a race of devils. Oh, he said it like he meant it. And another quote from that time and that teaching. They, meaning white folks, they are, quote, born devils. Professor Farrar chose to do his work among poor black Americans by presenting himself as, quote, his own words, the son of man. Now, if Mr. Farrar was ever approached by anybody to answer for saying that, I knew him very well, and I know him very well. Although the record in history will say we never met. Okay? So anyway, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't admit that. He would pass it off with a joke or something. But he did say that. And he went further than that. He said, we were brought here by the traders, slave traders, and deprived of all knowledge of our past. And there was no way of any help coming to us, or help did not come to us, until, quote, the coming of the Son of Man in the person of W.D. Farrar. That's the lessons. That's what we received back then. And it came from Mr. Farrar himself, Professor Farrar himself. So we know that he intended for us to see him as the Son of Man. Now, church people, my father was not a person that supported going to church. My mother was a strong church person. And the father of my father was a preacher having his own congregation. That's because he was named Wally later, but his name was William Poole. William Poole. Later he became known in the Temple of Islam by the name or as Wali Muhammad. And they called him Father because he was the father of my father. The believers mostly called him Father. They called him Father Muhammad. And for the general audience, or for the white world, the role he chose was the role of a satirist. What is a satirist? I did some research, not just a dictionary. I did some research also. In myth, the satirist is a creature of the wilds. But in literature, or with a reference to literature, a satirist is the one who ridicules the world he's living in. Or he designs language to really attack and hurt the world he lives in. But he always hides himself. He hides himself, and he hides exactly his, he hides also his word. He hides it. So when you read it, you would take it just for fun or for exciting novel or something. But when you understand what he's addressing with his metaphors and with his allegorical language, when you come to understand it, you see that he's really dissatisfied with the political order of the time, or with other things that are happening in his world at the time of his writing. For outsiders, the Temple of Islam only makes sense as satire. It doesn't make sense if you take it word for word or literally. If you take even its message to our own members, to the members, if you don't see it as allegorical or figurative, you will certainly miss what Mr. Farrar brought to America. Give me a moment here, and we'll continue just in a moment. Just a couple more minutes, I'll be with you. Okay. Now, Professor Farrar, the one that came from overseas, was working hard for a result, to get a certain result in our life and in our community. Honorable Elijah Muhammad understood him to be like Christ Jesus, Allah or God in the person. And we were told that he was born of a white woman and a black man. End quote, God is black. That's what we were taught. God is black. And blacks are the superiors. Though deprived of the knowledge of self under the white world, or under the white man. That's what we were told. Blacks are superior. The dictionary meaning for the term black will give a long list. There'll be a list of meanings. So black have many meanings. Some familiar meanings as churchgoers. If you recall the Bible says sin is black. Sin is black. The same Bible also says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. Now, if I'm black, tell me what color is a shadow. If a shadow is dense enough, or big enough, it puts us in the black. That is to say, in the dark. Many of us are not familiar with science, you know, general science, you know, to know that night is only a shadow. That's all nighttime is. And you know, out in the countryside, where there are no city developments, no electric lights, anything, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you can't see your hand before your face like this. So dark, unless the moon is shining or something, you can't see your hand before your face. That's how dark it gets. And that night, or that darkness, is caused by the turning of the earth away from the sun. The absence of sunlight. And it's only a shadow. It's the shadow of the other, produced by the other side of the earth, or by the earth as a ball. And now the light is shining on the other side of the ball, and the ball is so big, it puts darkness. It blots out the sunlight so completely that you can't see your hand before your face if you don't have the help of some kind of light or moonlight night or moonlit night. So when the Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, it is saying that the Holy Ghost blackened Mary. Blackened Mary. And what that mean? If the Holy Ghost blackened Mary, what does that mean? What is this saying about Mary? The Holy Ghost is of a spiritual nature. And Mary is of a spiritual nature. And one of the meanings of spirituality, one of the descriptions of spirituality in religion is black, or blackness. And Allah says in the Quran, He made the night to precede the day, the night to come before the day. So for Mary, this was an experience she was having before the birth of her son, Jesus Christ, peace be on both of them. And once He's born, there won't be any more darkness, for He will be the light of the world. Isn't that in the Bible? Okay. And Allah said in the Quran, I repeat, He made the night to come before the day, to precede the day. And when you read the beginning of creation, the beginning of creation in the Bible does not start in the day. Does not start with light. The Bible says there was darkness, and the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. Darkness upon the deep, and the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. So the Spirit began on the surface of the water, where image can be seen, if the right conditions are brought about, and the water is still, not in motion. It will show you your image. Huh? That's right. Yes. In myth, there's a story of Eros and Psyche. Eros, the male, Psyche, the female. And they went to the waterfront, and they looked down, and they saw their images. And they jumped into the water. Both of them jumped into the water together. Yes. So, another meaning of black is faithful, faith and faithfulness. Why do you think priests and leaders in religion choose to wear black? Don't forget the topic now. No, the first topic, the major topic, don't forget it. The meaning of religion and science, huh? So why do you think they wear black? It is to say that I am dead to this world and alive only to the Word of God. I am a man who keeps the faith. My life is firstly in my faith, not in this material flesh, not in this material world. All right. Now, in the world supported by science, black is formal dress for the most serious and most special occasions. black. Formal dress. Formal dress. So these are good meanings for blacks. Good meanings for black. Now let's look at white. Well, you know, white has many meanings too, right? Pure. And because it is always associated with light and purity, because the sun is the biggest and most important purifier in the solar system or in our existence, the sun, sunlight itself. Heals sicknesses, kills impurities. And my mother would hang the clothes out, and believe me, this fresh smell that they would have back there when I was a boy, after she hung them out in the sunlight and it came in the house dry, was better than the smell on any of the clothes that are laundered at the laundromat. So the Bible speaks of whiteness and associates whiteness with purity and light. The same Bible also gives these words that are aimed against a people who were corrupt. And it says, your white is the white of leprosy. And leprosy is a contagious, nasty, and dangerous disease. Nasty disease. Leprosy. Your white is the white of leprosy. Is the white of disease. Now, white supremacy is a white of leprosy. The story of the three sons, as interpreted by some religionists in American history, and charging us with being of that behavior, or that mentality, or that disposition that particular son took, that is condemned by the Bible. Three sons. One saw his father nakedness and saw him drunk. This is a holy man. This is a prophet. Prophet Noah. And he saw his father's shame, and he went and got some cover, and he covered his father's nakedness.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.